I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. We are just going to stay there for a moment. I might bring that up a little later in the meeting. Let's see. I'm talking to myself here, you guys. This is the most astounding story, because in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that you all are so familiar with, Jehoshaphat was such a great guy. He was an awesome king, and his daddy's name was Asa, and Asa was king for 45 years of Judah, and Asa died with diseased feet. And the Bible said he died with diseased, listen, with diseased feet, because he would not call on the Lord. He also, when he heard the prophets of God prophesy, and if he didn't like it, he just locked them away in prison. And so he just put them away. But now Jehoshaphat saw that as a boy, but the Bible says when he came up, he was an awesome king. He walked in the ways of the Lord and did what the Lord called him to do. He became a very wealthy, wealthy man. And when you look, some of you may have never known this or heard this about him, but I'm going to have to talk to you about him, because it just almost brings tears to your eyes to see how the devil deceives people and steps in and will try to thwart you out and make a wedge and come in between you with unbelievers. So I want you to see what happened to him. I'm going to take you somewhere this morning, and I'm going to call this message, "The Courts of the Lord Are in Session," because by the time we finish, I want you to understand that when we go to pray, we literally walk right into a court in session in heaven, literally. And I'll prove that to you before we're finished. But let's take a look at Jehoshaphat. Kathy, go ahead. I'm not quite sure how much I'm going to read, because we could just do the whole chapter, because it's absolutely amazing. But let's pull up verse 1. We'll just start there. Look, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Very wealthy man. And by marriage, look at this, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. Of all people, he joins up with Ahab, and guess who Ahab's wife was? Jezebel. You don't want to be near Jezebel nor her husband. And yet he entices him with goods. Look at verse 2. And after some years, Jehoshaphat went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, probably because he was a relative now and he had to go down there to see him. So he went down and visited Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him, for Jehoshaphat, and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. And so Ahab, king of Israel at that time, said to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead?" And sweet Jehoshaphat had such a sweet spirit. He said, "I will. I am as you are, and my people are as your people, and we'll go with you to war." Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Now please inquire for the word of the Lord today." In other words, "I'll go if you inquire of the Lord." And then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. Look, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to war with Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And so they said, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hands." Verse 6. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, now he's already heard from 400 men that just said, "Go on up. You'll get, God will give you the victory. He'll bless you." So Jehoshaphat, "Is there not still just one prophet of the Lord in the land? We can ask him." Verse 7. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, There's still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. In other words, that wasn't very nice. Verse 8, then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on their throne, and they sat at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them, all 400. Now, Zedekiah, the son of Chenaah, made horns of iron for himself. This was one of those 400 prophets. And he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. So he's telling King Ahab, look, I've made this altar. You're going to destroy them all. You'll be the victor here. Verse 11. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into your hands. It will deliver it into the king's hands. Verse 12. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to Micaiah, and he said, now listen. The words of the prophets, with one accord, they've all encouraged the king. Therefore, please, let your word be like the word of one of them, and please speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that will I speak. And then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hands. Now, most commentaries will tell you he was being sarcastic. And I think we can tell by looking that he was. So he said, no, just go on. They'll be delivered into your hand. Verse 15. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Now he's curious. Like, don't play with me. Verse 16, then he said, well, I saw, this is what the man of God says, Micaiah. He said, I saw all of Israel scattered on a mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that was exactly what this man was going to do? Did I not tell you he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw, remember this part, I want you to remember this. Because Micaiah was a praying man and he went to God and he said, I saw him sitting on a throne with all the host of heaven, with people that had gone before, with the angels. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And the whole host of heaven was there, standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up, that he might fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, on his right hand, all the host of heaven. One spoke on this way. And on the left, they spoke another way, and one manner and another spoke in another manner. Verse 20, look at this. I want you to get this, folks. Listen, I pray that you will tune in and listen to me. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, well, I will go out and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you will persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster on you. I'll stop right there. Okay. Micaiah, he knew what to do. He knew that when he went before the Lord, he was in the courts of heaven. Court was in session. God was talking to all the people that was gathered with him. The host of heaven, the armies of the Lord were gathered. And he says only one. He says, what do you all think we should do? Because the man of God had asked. And he said, well, what God says gives them a chance to speak. And so they were all talking among themselves. Listen, they were all talking among themselves. And so if you don't go and take your seat in heavenly places, because Jesus said, I have been immediately after he died and he went back to heaven, he sat at the right hand of God. And then the book of Ephesians, he said, I've caused you to be seated in heavenly places with me. You're sitting at my right hand. And then it says that Jesus sits high and far above principalities and powers. And if he does, so do we, though we work on earth. And though Jesus said, Father, they're on earth, don't take them out of it, but deliver them from the evil. So what happened is the man of God came and said, look, I heard from God. I saw him. I went there and I saw everybody in heavenly places. And he said, do this. Okay. But he totally ignored him. He goes, you guys are going to fall dead on the field. You'll be scattered like a sheep with no shepherd. Don't go. But he decides to go ahead. He doesn't consult God himself. So what happens? A lying spirit shows up. Lying spirit says, hey, I can take care of this. Didn't Job tell us that the devil showed up in front of God right in heaven? And what did he say? Satan showed up. And God said, what are you doing, Satan? He said, oh, I'm just going to and fro in the earth. I'm just walking around. James said he's just looking for somebody to devour like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Walking around. So I'm just telling you right now, if you don't go into heavenly places, if we don't go there, there will be a lying spirit show up and say, hey, I know how to take them down. We don't need any of that. Now, we're going to go farther with this story. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. Well, you don't have to worry about it because God knows what we'll do. So 400 prophets of Baal told this man everything he wanted to hear. Now, he was going to get killed if he did that. And this is why Jehoshaphat said, you need to listen to somebody else that will tell you the truth. Now, we're living in a day where there's all this, what some commentators call groupthink, where everybody thinks alike. They want you to think like them. And so there's so much of this going on that if you're not careful, you might move over and begin to think like them. We need to hear what thus saith the Lord and not what everybody says. Well, everybody's doing. Everybody says, who cares? We're going to have some truth here, folks, and somebody that's not afraid to tell the truth. Ladies, if you're in the beauty shop and everybody's talking about this, that, or the other, and how crazy it is, don't you join in just to fit in and join in with them. Now, you don't have to get right in the middle of everything, but I'm telling you, if they're having their voice, you ought to have a voice too. Amen. Guys, if you're on the job and all these men are thumping about that calling good evil and evil good, you need to get in and just be a prophet of God. Just let him speak. Now, every time we prophesy, it doesn't mean it's prophecy. Sometimes it's just exhortation. Okay, you're just encouraging someone. So know the difference. But if you're not careful, you'll hear everything everybody's saying, and everybody's got a thus saith the Lord. You can't follow everybody that says that because they're not even following the Lord. Okay, so be careful in this hour in which we live. All right, I want to take you somewhere else. Let's go over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. We could stay all day right there on that story. And if you want to read the rest. In fact, one of those prophets came up and it says in the next verse that he just slapped Micaiah's face. He just slapped his face. It said, oh, well, when the prophet left you, which way did he go? He said, straight to Ahab. I'm going to take you guys down because you're not going to do what the Lord says. You're going to listen to all those prophets of Baal, do what they said, and you're all going to be destroyed. And they were. You know what happened to Jehoshaphat? He went home in peace, and he stayed in peace, and he walked with the blessings of the Lord. All right, So I've already showed you in black and white in print that the Bible says that Jehoshaphat saw heaven open and he saw the host of heaven sitting there with God on the throne. I want to show you this. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 3. And Zechariah is speaking here, and it says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And here he is again, and Satan standing at his right hand to do what? To oppose the man of God. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Two rebukes in the same line. Listen, when the Lord rebukes you, you've done been rebuked. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? My Joshua is a high priest on earth. He's doing the best he can inside the church. I thought, oh, brother, can I identify in a certain way in our little world here? Look at verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Filthy there, meaning like human feces. It was just a mess. And then he answered and he spoke to those who stood before him, saying, the angel said, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity. I've taken all your sins, all the mess away from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. I'll take care of you right here. Why? Because he came right into heavenly places. And I said, Zechariah says, while I was watching, because he was there, he went to pray. He said, I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. You say, I don't have that kind of authority. You don't? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Lord, let them put a clean turban on his head. And they put a clean turban on his head. That's what they did, the host of heaven. And they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying this, now, if you will walk in my ways and you will keep my command, you shall judge my house. Look at this. You will judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts. In other words, you're going to work here in heavenly places. What you do on earth will be done here. So you will have charge in my courts. And in heavenly places, you have authority as well. And I will give you places to walk. Listen, I will give you places to walk among those who stand right here. All of this host that you see, Mother Garcia, Papa Garcia, he's in that crowd. Think about that. Every time you and I go to pray, we're in our family's presence. You're in God's presence. You say, oh, I don't know, Pastor. Oh, you want to see it? I'll show you. Let's go over to Hebrews a minute, Kathy. I'm going to jump off of that a minute. I think it's chapter 12, Kathy. Yeah. Let me show you who's there. It's chapter 12. Let's go to verse 22. Look at this. Who all's there when you all go to pray? This is the most exciting thing. I mean, this ought to just bless you every time you pray now. Look, you're not by yourself when you're in that bedroom, in that secret place, in your car. You're not. Look who's there. But you have come to Mount Zion. That's the church. That's the heavenly assembly up there. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where God is. The angels, all of our loved ones that's died in Jesus. You've come to the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Somebody say, I'm in good company. Say, you've come to an innumerable, you can't even count the number of angels that are there. And then it says, and to the general assembly. That's the body of Christ. And the church of the firstborn, those in the book of Acts. And those who were saved by the blood of Jesus, who are registered in heaven. Now, we're sitting here today. They're all registered up there. But because you and I were born again, we're registered in heaven. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that great news, Sandy? Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're registered. And then he goes on to say, who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all. He didn't leave God out. He said, no, God's there. And to the spirits of just men, that's our loved ones, made perfect. And to Jesus, he didn't leave Jesus out, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. He said, you have never seen anything like this. The blood of Abel cried out to me, but man, when you cry out to me, I hear it. And he said, you're in front of Jesus, you're in front of God, you're in front of the angels, you're in front of the assembly, you're in front of the 420 elders, you're before the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's who was there where this high priest Joshua was standing there. So Joshua, the high priest, what the high priest did, they would go into the temple once a year. And man, they couldn't even have a bad dream or they might die right there in the presence of the Lord. So somebody would try to keep them awake all night long so they wouldn't have a bad dream. And then it would be maybe just a horrible dream and they couldn't go in or they would die. And if they had any sin, so man, they had to be cleansed and washed. And it says the blood of animals. Well, let me go back to Hebrews 12 or 10. I'm going to show you this. See, now we're going to skip over and I'm going to tell you really what Jesus is doing there. But what we just read over in Zechariah is when it really all happened, way, way back before Jesus was ever on earth. Look at this. Verse 6, now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. That's what Zechariah was doing. He was saying, Lord, I'm just trying to go in here and I'm going to put the table, check the table of showbread, make sure we got the bread, make sure the oil's in the lamps, make sure the incense is on the altar of incense, and then I'm going to go in there and I'm going to put the blood of these bulls and goats on the altar so that it'll take away the sins of the people. And he said, oh, the Bible says that Joshua saw that, or excuse me, Zechariah. And then as he's standing there before God saying, God, I'm doing the best I can down there on earth, doing my duties as a high priest. I'm doing everything I know to do. And then the devil walks up and says, you filthy dog. Father, do you realize what he did last week? He is no good. He is not fit for this job. He is not fit. He's accusing. See, we are accused all day before God. But you heard what God did? God said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And then he says it again, the Lord rebuke you. Now, you think we're doing something when we say, get out of here, devil. Get out of here. It ain't about you getting all worked up. Get out of here, you. You just got to know that where you're going and what happens when you're there. And God says, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I will not have you bothering. I know my daughter. I know my son. I know them. And I know their heart is after me. And you just put them on a clean garment. You may get a little dirty down here on earth, but he says, when you get before me, I'll just give you a brand new shirt, brother. Hallelujah. Ladies, I'll give you a brand new dress. If you need a new helmet on your head because your mind is getting all tore up, well, let me just give you a new turban. If your heart's getting messed up, just let me wash your body clean. I'll take care. God said, I will not have it, you accuser. You're accusing my baby, my son, my daughter. See, this is the stuff that you hear when you're in the car. When you're walking along and you hear this, who do you think you are? Do you think the Lord's really going to heal this girl? Do you really think that that'll ever happen? You're never going to get out of that financial bind. You're never going to get that son out of jail. You're never going to see your child saved. That's him. That's him. So what you've got to do is understand that you go before the throne. The court of God is in session, church. Hallelujah. Just go. I look at all these angels. They say, let me just dress them up, God. Just let me fix your children up. And he gets you ready. And God says, now you go on. You're pure and you're clean and you're holy. And it doesn't matter. You're down there on earth. Now you go ahead and do my business. But church, you got to quit listening to him in this hour. There's too much bad news. There's too much stuff going on. And you're going to have to pull yourself right back over here and put your face focused on him, period. You start looking at others. You start listening to stuff. You get right back over here and don't let anyone distract you. Amen? Well, I want to go, did I say, to Hebrews 10? And let me just verify this. Yeah, I want you just got to see this. I know I'm reading a lot today, but please look. Because the Bible says it better than I could ever say it. So I just want to make sure you see it. Hebrews 10, verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never, look at that, take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, and that was Jesus' own body, he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. He sat down at the right hand of God. And from that time waiting, till his enemies are made his footstool. See, when he comes, he'll just prop up his feet and say, man, this thing is done. Those enemies are going to be burning in hell along with that Antichrist and the false prophet and all of them together. Verse 14, for by one offering, somebody say one offering. One offering. Not one every week, not incense sprinkling. Listen, I went past that Catholic church, Holy Cross is over by my house. One of my neighbors is Catholic, maybe I told you this Wednesday night. I said, listen, how many did you all have over there Sunday on Easter? I said, there must have been 5,000 or 6,000. Because, I mean, they have church all day. She says, oh, no, it's more like 10. We're like 10,000. Priest over there shaking the incense. Smoke in the house, smell good. All in a mess, he said, it's all in a mess. But Jesus said, no, I don't have to do that every single Sunday. I already did it. Just once. And for all, one sacrifice. And we're talking about the Old Testament, how they offered up bloods of bulls and goats. Verse 15, but the Holy Spirit, who also witnesses to us, after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. After those days means after Jesus died, then I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. And I'll write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Now where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren and sister, he's saying, therefore, because of all that, because of this great high priest, because of that, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, that's into the courtroom by a new and a living way which he consecrated for all of us through the veil, that is his flesh was torn, and having, please look at this, so important, we're going to go right now, look, having a high priest over what? Over the house of God. Having a high priest over the house of God. I can't tell you what that does for my heart. That means the whole global church. We've got a high priest. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Just go there in faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. He said, I don't want you having an evil conscience about what you did 50 years ago. We're not talking about what kind of father you were, mother you were in jail, or you were this, or you were a crack addict. We're not talking about that. Jesus said, it is over. Hallelujah. I took care of it once and for all. So he said, by my blood, I sprinkle your evil conscience, and our bodies are washed with pure water. I'm glad he didn't just say that I want you not to have a guilty conscience. Anytime a guilt comes back or shame and says, look what you did. Do you remember? God will never use you because you were that and you were this and you shouldn't have it. Yeah, that's going to come back on you. No. He said, I've cleansed your evil conscience and I've washed your body. You see, yeah, but my body. My body. We're talking about things the other day, and Parker said, you seen that tattoo shop down there? Because they got these little tattoos in there, Easter baskets, or Easter eggs. You did that. The little Easter eggs had tattoos, which we do it too. So I'm just kidding. So don't get guilty. So anyway, we get all these tattoos, and I'm putting them on them with the washcloth. You know, you stick it on there, and you get all the cute little tattoos. So Parker says, Nana, that's a tattoo. I said, yeah. He said, can I get one? He wanted to get a tattoo. I said, no, don't get one. He says, well, Brother Art has them. He said, did you see Brother Art? He's just got them all over him. He said, and he loves Jesus? I said, I know he does. Yes, he does. But I said, those are the marks of the world that he's got on him. And I said, they marked him, but he could go right out and see somebody else and minister to them. You know, God knows who we are, what we've done. And Paul said, I've got the marks of the world on me. I've got the marks of the world on me. We're never so holy that we don't have the marks of the Lord on us. Some people think, well, if you just anoint me with oil, I'll be so holy, I'll just slide out the door. No one's that holy. But Jesus said, you just come where I am. And that devil would say, ooh, he stinks. He's nasty. He's just got so much stuff, Lord, so much past. I mean, there's just so much past. He just smells so icky. Do not let him even go in to your temple. Don't let him go in there. But God says, you listen to me, Joshua. After they clothed him, changed his clothes, changed his turban, he said, I will just... You do what I say, son, and you walk in obedience to me, and I will have you work in my temple and in my courtyards. I'll have you work in heavenly places with heavenly authority right there on earth. And I will move in a way that you have never seen. And so let me close with this in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Amen. So he said, there is much for us to do. But Jesus said, I sure died to give you a lot of stuff, folks. Stand with me, would you? Come on, let's stand in his presence. My Lord, I don't even know if I ever got to my notes, but if I did, we'd be here. But I'm just saying, come near to God full, with a heart full of faith. Come with a heart full of faith that your conscience needs to be cleaned and clear. You don't need to let that conscience come back. Now, just let the accusations go on in heaven. God said, I can handle that. But every time that accusation comes to you telling you how no good you are, you just say, go talk to Jesus' hands. Listen, if Jesus is sitting there on that throne, he puts up his hand, what's that devil going to see? He's going to see those scars in his hand. All he's got to do is, Amen. You don't even have to say the Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. That old popular phrase, talk to the hand. Next time that devil comes telling you what you did, how unworthy you are, how you'll never, you had a dream. God was going to use you. You had a vision, but no more. You done blew that. talk to the hand of Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, thank you for today. I don't even know what you've done. But Lord, I know this message could have gotten so deep. But Lord, I believe we've kept it simple enough. How can you keep something simple that's so profound? But Lord, I thank you. Come on, you all come up here with me. Let's just bring our guilty consciences to the Lord if we got one. Come on, come with me. And let's let him wash our bodies off. We need a good bath. We need a good bath. I'm going to talk. Come up a little bit closer if you don't mind so the others can get in. How many just want a good bath from heaven? I'm not talking about on earth. Talking about in heavenly places. He said, I'll take care of you. Look, here comes Wanda. Wanda says, yeah, I want a free conscience too. I want a good bath in my body. Shadalabahasa. Thank you, Lord, for good, worthy people. See, we're all worthy. You know why you're worthy? Because God made you worthy. Come on, my sweetheart and niece. Come up here with us, sweetheart. Get up here. Don't you let the devil talk ugly to you. Get up here. Come on. Wonderful Jesus. Now listen. Okay. I'll just say, look to your high priest right now. Jesus, you're our high priest, and we don't, us who are Christians, we've been Christians for years. We've never been in the Catholic or Lutheran or some of those churches, Lord. We don't understand the liturgical way of the priest. We really don't. But we understand by the Old Testament word. All I know is we've got a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The highest, greatest priest ever. That was so awesome that after you died, we never had to have another sacrifice of a lamb or a bull or a goat. Would you just surrender to him today? Just lift your hand and surrender and say, Lord, wash me. Wash my body, Lord. Wash me from the dirt of the earth. Lord, we live down here and it gets messy and there's temptations and there's flaws and there's mistakes made and there's errors. And sometimes we may talk to the wrong people or hook up with the wrong ones. Some in this house may have already partnered with somebody they shouldn't have partnered with. Show them the way out if they need to go out. In the name of Jesus, wash us. Wash us. Cleanse my guilty conscience. Come on, ask him to take. You got a guilty conscience? I pray that it'll leave from today. You got that out of Hebrews 10. Wash, Lord. Wash. 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 I don't care how old you are, the devil will still bring things back to your mind. Look what you said. Look what you did. Come on, Lord, please help us. Lord, I gave these people some facts this morning. I gave them the truth of the word. It don't take him forever to do it, church. It doesn't take him forever to do it. Hallelujah. So now just praise him for it. Just thank him. He said, now when you come to me, come with a full heart of assurance of faith. So now right now I want you to lose your faith. To say, Lord, I believe the words of my pastor. But more than that, I believe the words of the Bible. I receive, Lord, the anointing to do your work, the power and the glory with a heart full of assurance, just to lay everything at your feet. Lord, help us to be mindful that when we come to glory, when we come to pray, we're coming before the courts of the Lord. Who stand before us today, Lord? Prince, princes. These men are a prince in the courts of the Lord. These women are princes, the daughters of God, princes in the courts of the Lord. That's who you are when you go there. Amen, church? Amen, church? Come on. on, somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. Shout, thank you, Jesus. Woo. Come on, take your seat. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, thank you for these precious people. Thank you for the way that you put Landmark here. Father, one day we'll just go into it. It's such a miracle. Father, I've tried to walk in your ways and hear you and do what you have said. And I will do this too, Lord. We won't be afraid to step out. We won't be afraid to take a risk. I won't be embarrassed to say this. But Lord, we believe for mighty miracles. So Lord, I delivered it. You just take it from here and help us to print up things that will give us more information. Ha, thank you for these precious people. Thank you for birthing Landmark. Thank you for our family. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May be gracious to you and give you peace. Turn his countenance toward you and bless you and give you peace all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Thank you for being here today.